What was your conscience saying to you? When was the last time that you listened to your conscience? One thing I can see is, if you listen to your conscience this morning, you're here. You didn't stay home. That's a good thing. But what about that conscience, the inner voice that speaks to you, that tells you this or that, you know? Is it a safe guide, you know? Can we get into trouble with that? Some do. So as you think about your conscience this morning, let's just have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, once more we thank Thee that You have invited us into Your presence, into the presence of the Holy God. And we are so thankful, Father, to sing praises and to honor Your name and to honor Thy Son, who paid the price for humanity so that each of us may be with Him one day. Thank You, Father, that we have that opportunity, that hope, and the assurance that we will be with Him one day. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yeah, what about the man who feels that, you know, what is right and wrong can be determined how his inner self feels about it, you know, it's telling him what to do. And is your conscience a safe guide? Conscience, the sense of right and wrong, ideas and feelings within a person that tells him when he is doing right and warn him of what is wrong. But how about that old saying, let your conscience be your guide? You know, many people do, and then they get into trouble. But where is our conscience today? You know, if we are conscientious, careful to do what one knows is right, controlled by conscience, done with care to make it right. You know, if we listen to God's word, we will have the right answer for our conscience. And the first one I have is Proverbs 16:25, if you would turn to that in your Bibles. Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, that's crystal clear that we can't depend on conscience alone. You know. And as we know that we can't do that, we know that God has a special message for us. In Isaiah 55:6, He says, He invites you to seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Apparently, there's coming a time when it's going to be too late and God won't be found. You know. Verse 7 goes on and tells us, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his pardon. Along with that hope, we have that pardon. We've repented. We've given ourselves over to Jesus Christ, and He's pardoned us. But here and there, you know, we really find the right way. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's also continued there in chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. I was going to, and I forgot to bring my tape measure, but I'm going to use Bob down there for a thing there. Don't mind it. Don't think anything about it there, but tape measure, and I got to measure Bob here, you know. Look at Bob there. You know, I think he's as good as I am. But I'm a little bit better than he is, you know. I feel that he's better than, you know, that I'm better than he is. You know, but if we measure ourselves by other people, we know that it's going to be deceptive, you know. And the question is, how do we measure by our Savior? We need to use our Savior as our message. We know that the hardest person in the world for God to reach is not the hardened sinner, but it's that person who feels that he's just as good as the next person. And I've fallen into that category many times. Measure yourself by your neighbor. You compare yourself with other people. And in self-righteousness, we see that there's nothing wrong with ourselves. And there's nothing more that we need as we do look at other neighbors. And we know that our self-deception is most dangerous, because it does bind us to our true condition. And only as we compare ourselves with the Master and as Jesus Christ, that our own need becomes apparent. We never forget that Jesus is our pattern every single day. And it's the Master alone that we measure ourselves by. And as we do that, we see our need of change. And we realize that we can't make that change without him. We need him there for us. How true is the need and clear the imitation of the Master. Consider your ways, Haggai 1:5. He's told us that our ways are widely different than his ways. And just how different they are becomes apparent as we read through the scriptures. The ways of the world, the Lord says, John, 1 John 2. 1 John 2, 15 and 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The way of the world, the natural inclination of the heart is to compromise. And we do that many times. To go with the crowd, to drift along in life. But there's a vital reason why we shouldn't place ourselves on these kinds of affections and on the things of the world. As we see on the news, as we read the newspapers and see all that is happening in the world, and to put our affections upon them, we know that it's wrong. Continues there in 1 John 2 and verse 17. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There's another hope to abide in God forever. And we can have that right now. We don't have to wait. We can do that now. And we know that it's obedience that counts with God. We know it's if you are obedient, you will abide forever. And verbal professions are not enough, you know. In fact, they mean nothing unless you have obedience with them, you know. I know that I've heard, and you have heard also, that some say I am saved or I accepted Christ. But the only way that we know is because we were told. We don't see it in any of their actions. In Romans 6:16, we continue with our conscience there. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And there's many that claim the Master but are disobedient to him, and I hope that we're not one of them. You know, Matthew 7, the last part of verse 21. Matthew 7, verse 21. It is not the one who claims him as master that will be saved, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, said Jesus. And a miracle performed in the name of Jesus, unless accompanied by obedience, is a work of iniquity. And that also leads to deception. You can be deceived through that. Always be ready with the truth. And when the truth is brought to you, to examine it and to follow it. You know, and we always know that we turn right here to find out whether it's true or not. God cleanses us from all defilement. And he doesn't condone sin in any way, shape, or form. And many Christians lose the point of the gospel here because they forget to realize this, the power of God unto salvation. God doesn't whitewash our old life. It is covered with the blood of Jesus Christ, but it isn't being whitewashed. It's a new experience to be living in Jesus Christ. And it should have a complete change in our actions. And I pray that it does for each one of us this Sabbath morning, that our actions are changed. We need to make a careful study of the revealed will of God so that we can have that change. We never forget, Jesus didn't come to save sinners. He came to make saints out of us and then to save us. Hebrews 5:9 tells us he became the author of salvation only unto all them that obey him. That we have to obey him. Obedience is the key. God will never save a willful disobedient. And we know that there are some out there. To know his will is of prime importance to each one of us. And there are several sources that we can use as standards for them. Number one, the first standard is the pattern of Christ. His life is a safe pattern to follow. We can have confidence. We can walk as he walked. We're here today. He shows us how to keep the Sabbath to the glory of God. His ministrations to others and his interest in them should be our main attitude ourselves to others. His patience, his kindness, and example. To have patience and to have kindness, I've got a lot of trouble having that, especially with my patients, Try to keep it in check. But if I don't have Jesus Christ there to help me, I know that it goes haywire. 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him ought to walk even as he walked. We need to walk as Jesus did. Second standard is the divine law of God. It's a great mirror that reflects the perfect character of Jesus. The law of the Lord is perfect, says the psalmist. And in Romans 7:7, I had not known sin, but by the law, says Paul. It defines what sin is for us. If any precept is violated, we know that it's sin. James 2:10-12. To ignore any of its precepts is to ignore light and truth. And we have that light and truth in the third standard, the Holy Word of God, right here within this Bible, within this book here. Powerhouse of resources right in here. There's power in here to completely change each of our lives. Power in there to change others through us doing the work that God has given to each one of us. To be God's representative here on this dying earth. And if we look at these words, these scriptures, we can see his revealed will. And we can't walk without Jesus, without having a life changed. Christ takes us from our lower, that's our own way, to the upper, his own way. And he puts us on the highway to eternal life and happiness. To believe now, through all the turmoils in the world and in our lives, that we can have eternal life and happiness. Such hope. Self-denial. We know that we have to get away from that. We have to have a way of true humility. And we know that it is proud heart that becomes less sensitive. We have to get rid of that proud heart. Within the Bible, we find the broad principles to walk by. And God gives us the intelligence to apply these principles. We have to have Jesus Christ in our lives to be able to truly know what this book says. We can read it from cover to cover. Without Jesus Christ, we won't know a thing that it says. And ask yourself how a practice of your life can be in this statement. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatever, so whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Do everything to the glory of God. I know there's probably many times that we don't do that, but we know that we should. And the Bible doesn't tell us to smoke. Not to smoke, but it does say, thou shalt not kill. And whether death is in degrees or instantaneous, it is still sin. Along with that tape measure that I used on Bob there, God has a yardstick that he uses. And he has a yardstick for each of us. And as we see here the following text, we should never forget. We need to memorize it, to make it a part of our lives, to use it to measure, to weigh, to check everything that we allow to pass into our minds. Found in, was in our text that was read today, Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Here's our yardstick right there. To find out that which is true as many times is like hunting for a needle in a haystack. And if we look at the moral fiber of Americans today, we see that they will their minds, and we know that it's not a pretty picture. God clearly states that what will be the end of those who make fiction and those who love it. They will be outside the holy city. It says Revelation 22:15. For God only deals with the true and the lovely. And I know that each one of us this morning are part of that true and lovely. But take the music today. You know, it's either going to appeal to the higher or to the lower mind. It's either going to bring our desires heavenward or downward to the sensual. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Come out and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. As I said before, God's plan isn't to whitewash our sins, not to cover them with a cloak of righteousness. Romans 12:2 tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. We have to be transformed. We do that by obedience to the Lord. And this is the power of the gospel that's available to everybody. Not just to us sitting here this morning, but to everyone. He changes our actions, our words, our likes and our dislikes. And he even tells us that we can't dress as we please. For some reason, I had a couple other verses for this, but I left them out. I don't know, I was a little reluctant to say anything about dress, but I have to. We can't dress as we please. The child of God will dress as God pleases. If we dress for display, for show, we know that it's foreign to the gospel. And as we see that, we see that the reason is obvious. The Christian in this world to attract attention to the master, not to himself. To attract attention to the master, not to ourselves. In Revelation 21 and 22, God tells us where the golden jewels belong. But for his children, he tells us to dress with dignity and modesty, that our consecrated lives might draw others to our master, not to ourselves. Draw others to our master. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We should know this verse by heart. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. It's another one of my prayers this morning that I pray that our old things are passed away in each one of us. But I need to ask you again, is your conscience a safe guide? It wasn't before, but it is now. For like a clock, we've been set in harmony with the Bible. And our watch has been wound by the Holy Spirit. Now it rings a ring of truth in our lives. And it tunes us in with the Master. But we need to let him show us his ways and not our ways. We know that time has almost run its course. Jesus is coming soon. No matter what, we have to keep that in our minds, in our hearts today. Even if we pass away tomorrow, to have that assurance that Jesus is coming soon. Such hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And if we put it off any longer, we know that our eternal destiny will be affected. Jesus never comes to save the willful sinner. And as we continue to study his ways, we know that what is right before us. As we read the scriptures, we can see everything that is right that we should follow. Our last verse for today is 1 John 1:7. 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That is my desire for each one of us this morning, that we become cleansed from all sin. And as we sing the closing song, we should look at our hearts and see if we need to make that right decision again. Ask God right now to give you the strength to walk in all the light that he has shown you. We can't put it off any longer. We need to do it right now, for tomorrow may be too late. Our gracious Heavenly Father, all the way to the cross, I pray this Sabbath morning that each one of us walks that way with thee, Father, all the way to the cross. And we thank thee once again for the hope in Jesus Christ, the hope in eternal life, everlasting life, and that we will be with him forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.